like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a new guest, new to me anyway, and I feel like you're pretty new to the music scene as well. And I have a lot of questions sort of about how your entry into the music scene, because we'll get into that in a second. But if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background on what you do as an artist, we can take it from there.
Sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Chandler Pretty, and I'm a pop singer-songwriter from Winnipeg. I'm a mix of like dark pop, dream pop, indie pop. I'm still really developing my sound. I tend to really love like atmospheric synthy music. I love creating kind of like a lush and textured world where listening to a song kind of feels like being in a movie. I also work in film, so visuals are like a big part of my creative process. So I released my EP, Act 5 Bloom, last August. I did my first ever live performance in December with Manitoba Music. And this year, I'm really just trying to like map out my song release, which I'm hoping to put out in the summer, and performances and just all of my creative pursuits.
Cool. And I definitely want to get into the sort of cinematic aspect of what you do. And I think that atmosphere thing, from what I've heard of your music, definitely applies. But the first thing I wanted to talk about is, you seem like you're almost doing this backwards. I mean, most of the people that I have on the show, they've been playing shows for years and then they release music, right? And you're going about this from the complete opposite trajectory. So how did this end up happening? Because most people, you know, they will start by playing shows as sort of an entry point, whereas you just played your first show and you've had this EP out for a while. So how did this happen in that sort of trajectory?
Yeah, I released my first song ever under a different name in 2020.
Okay.
And I never thought I would perform live. I always kind of thought I would be a recording artist like forever. But basically I learned that, because I guess I always kind of thought that if you wanted to do music, you either like had to go that live route or you had to like be signed to a label or something, right? So at one point, I kind of came into contact with somebody who was doing everything independently. And it really occurred to me that you can just go to a recording studio and get a producer and like make music if you really want to. And so at the time, during like COVID and everything, I was doing a lot of YouTube and just really kind of living in that online world. So doing a like digital release and all of that made a lot of sense for me. And so I got into contact with a producer out in Vancouver. It was a recommendation by somebody else that used to play out there. And so we worked remotely with that, and I recorded at a studio here in Winnipeg, and I put it out online, and that was kind of just how I got into it. And I didn't really do much within the Winnipeg music community here until last year. I started working with more people within the community. So I think I never really wanted to, or I was not that I didn't want to, but I was very scared to do live performances.
Sure.
Like high school stage fright and all of that kind of thing. I was like, no way, never doing it. Manitoba Music reached out to me for their new music night in October, and I initially agreed to it, and then I backed out because I was too scared. And then they asked me again in December, and I was like, you know, if the universe is giving me this opportunity to like heal some of my childhood performing trauma, then I should probably take it. Because I think with performing versus with recording, you get to, you know, do the take over and over and over again till it's perfect. And then with live, it's, you don't have that ability. So
for sure.
Yeah, I was really nervous about that. And I eventually just did it. Thought I would perform this one thing and then never do it again. But I actually really liked it.
Well, that was sort of my next question is like, hey, how did that come across for you? I mean, now that you've sort of, you know, conquered that, maybe not conquered, I don't know if you probably still have some of the stage fright, but you've done that. You played in front of people. Your music now exists sort of online and also in the real world in the sense that you've gone out and performed it. What was that feeling like now that you've done it? Do you want more of that, or are you still sort of more comfortable being behind the scenes? Or did that give you a taste of sort of doing the live thing?
I think I'll always be more comfortable behind the scenes. Sure. I work in post-production. Like, that's always been my background. I've always been that kind of person. But with the live performing, I think I did catch that bug for the live show. I had all these like bad thoughts going through my head when I was about to perform. I was like, everybody's gonna boo me, like just all of that. But it was such a positive experience, and it was really nice to be able to connect with more people in the Winnipeg music community, because I felt like I was very isolated for a long time. Yeah. Just working remotely with a producer in Vancouver, and then just releasing online. Like, that's, I didn't have a lot of connections here. So it's been really nice to expand into the music community in Winnipeg. And I think even with having one show behind me and like other interest in future shows as well, I feel a little like out of place, I think, as a pop artist in Winnipeg. Like, Winnipeg has such a prominent folk scene, indie scene, like
pop scene, punk scene, jazz scene.
Pop,
this has come up before in the show, actually, with some other artists who would fit themselves in that category, where pop isn't necessarily sort of the genre that people associate with the city, especially at the kind of DIY independent level, right? There's people who are much sort of bigger and much more established, but in terms of like local independent pop, there's not a ton.
Yeah. And I think we're a growing group. Like, I've been meeting more pop artists in the city, but it's still quite small. And I don't play an instrument. Like, I just sing, and I have a producer make the music and everything, right? So when I did my first performance, I was going to be singing to my instrumentals, and it really gave me pause prior to the show, because I know there is that discourse where if you're not performing your songs live, people think you're just kind of singing karaoke to your own songs.
The Milli Vanilli thing, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I felt like my legitimacy as an artist would come into question performing songs to backing tracks. And, I ended up having a really positive experience at New Music Night. And
cool.
I think it's just because, like, I haven't seen a lot of local artists perform that way, like with instrumental tracks, especially for like pop. So yeah. I'm always kind of like, how do I fit in here? And I think that comes down to me, like, fitting in as a performer is just, like, you know, me singing my songs to an audience. You know, my music is pop. It's very produced. That's just the way it is. Like, the music that I make is kind of hard to replicate in a live band, I think. So I think just to give people the best version and impression of me is to sing my songs how they are. And I think that's how I would give the most authentic experience. It's just me, and I should embrace that and not be like so scared of it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
My version of you.
So how does that work for you then as far as creating these songs? Because like you said, you're not playing an instrument, you're just singing, you're a producer making the music, but there's also this element, yes. this cinematic element, this atmospheric element. Obviously, I get the impression anyway that you're very involved in sort of shaping what the song is about and sounds like and the general feel of it. What is the process for you as far as actually writing? I mean, lyrics, obviously, you can do that on your own, but because you're working with other people in terms of the production mm-hmm. and the backing tracks, how does that work?
Well, I go about it a few different ways. Sometimes if I have a particular melody in my head, I'll just kind of sing it to a click track or something. And apparently I'm quite good at staying on key for the most part. And I'll send that to the producer and they'll kind of like make something around that. And other ways that I really loved is I'll give... like song references. I'll be like, this is how I want the song to feel. This okay. is kind of like how I imagine the world of this song. Thankfully I've worked with a lot of people who were able to take that and know what I mean by it. And so they'll create a track for me and I will from there write lyrics and a melody to it.
Is there a point where you sort of know that the song is where you want it to be? I mean, just because of this nature of working with someone else and they're sort of interpreting your directions like that, right? When do you know the song is what you want? Like, is there sort of a light bulb moment where it's like, this person just nailed it. This is sort of what you
yes.
were hoping for.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just a feeling that I get. I'm like, yep. This is what it is. Like I think there's that kind of like goosebumps moment that I feel when I listen to the song. I really love a very like textured song. I love a lot of sounds going on. I love a lot of different like synths and everything. So
yeah.
I think when I feel this, I don't know, just like chills for a track. Yeah, I know in that moment, like this is what I'll want to, you know, make a music video for or like build like a photo shoot around or something like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Did you, so I mean, obviously you're using the backing tracks live, like you said, you're not sure if a band would be able to replicate that, and that makes sense. Do you have like, are there stripped down versions of these that you can do, or is it basically this is the only version of a song that can exist is the one with those tracks? Like, have you considered playing them in a different format, whether it's with one person backing you up or something, or are you pretty like married to the idea of using the tracks that were meant to go with these vocals?
Yeah, I think I'm open to anything. Like I said, I'm still expanding into yeah. networking and meeting people and everything. So I think the opportunity for having like an accompanist for it hasn't really come up for me yet. And I mean, I've only done the one show so far.
Yeah,
I mean, anything's possible. I guess that would just kind of come down to like funds and meeting the right people. I think I'd have to like, yeah, I don't really know how the process works. I guess somebody would like have to take the song and find chords to it or however it works. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't played an instrument since like grade 11. I played clarinet, oh, yeah. But yeah.
Maybe not the best one to accompany, best instrument to accompany no. what you're doing now for sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, and I know you've only played the one show and I realize we've been, you know, we're talking about this with that in mind, but because like you said, you have a film background, there's very sort of cinematic feel to a lot of what you do. Are you hoping that this can at some point be sort of more multimedia than just singing to backing tracks? I mean, I know you have music videos that are obviously very involved and there's a lot of care given to the visuals and to sort of what's being represented there. Is that something that you'd hope to bring to live shows at some point in the future?
That would be really cool. I'd love to eventually create like a whole performance kind of a situation. I'm not entirely sure what that would end up looking like, but I feel like I'm always kind of meant for more of a performance aspect with like, I don't know, props or yeah. like things playing in the background, I think would be really awesome. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity for performance as far as the music that I make. One of my goals is to make like a visual album.
Oh, cool.
Like an album film or whatever it's called. I really should have done that with my last album, but I think for that one, like, or just, yeah, just the music that I make in general, I always want it to feel like you're experiencing a movie, like sonically, you know, from the opening credits to the end, like
yeah.
a hopeful beginning, the tension and the stakes are, and the drama are introduced and worked through. And by the end, we're completing this cycle and like returning to like hope and a newfound sense of transformation. And I always think that like, I feel like my songs are a lot more darker than just like normal pop. So I can definitely see like movie scenes and like yeah. emotional moments and montages and stuff. And I also really love a cliche and a trope. Like I wrote a Halloween song in 2023 called Scenes from a B-List Horror Film. And it was such a fun song. So I think there's always an opportunity for in the future, like different visuals and yeah, just I really love like living in that kind of cinematic space
for sure
musically. Streaks of mascara down my face, just like in the movies, a conspiracy. I can't know when my skin's so sick of thinking, of screaming, of dreaming of you.
Yeah. know, I realize you're not putting out concept records, but the way people consume music nowadays is so scattered. I mean, people are not necessarily listening to something, unless you have dinosaurs like me who are still listening to physical media, but most people are hearing a song here and there on playlists or on Shuffle or whatever. How do you sort of make music with that in mind, wanting to have those arcs and that kind of, you know, almost a storyline, even if it's not necessarily a storyline, knowing that people are going to be listening to it a bit here, a bit there, and maybe not even the full thing, you know, ever?
Yeah. I make music for me. Honestly, I make music that I want to listen to, and it's really a treat if other people are willing to listen to it. Definitely there is that popularity with kind of like the TikTok trends, and people these days only know like a portion of the song.
For sure. It's weird, yeah.
That goes viral, and I don't know, it's not really for me. I'm not really big on the whole marketing aspect of things. They're more so passion projects for me, and if I have a song that I want to put out or an album that I want to put out and it has an arc to it, then that's what I'm going to push. And I think people are coming back to listening to the full album, like start to finish. I think they're,
I hope so,
more and more. Yeah, more and more I see people be like, you know, these people, like these singers, they put the songs in the order for a reason. Let's listen to it the way that they wanted you to listen to it. And I listen to a lot of K-pop.
Okay.
And so physical albums are a very prominent part of that. There's always that like big album release and you get the CD and all of the other little accoutrements that come with it. But I think once you get into that community, there's a big emphasis on the physical media portion. And a lot of my friends who are also in that space, like everybody's bought CD players again to play these albums. And it's really nice to see, honestly. And
definitely.
So I think that's part of my inspiration as well, is seeing these people and these artists and these groups do that. You know, why can't I do the same thing and have and really emphasize the track list as it is, or the music videos as they are? And I think especially if I want to work toward doing like an album film, that's just in the name, you know, like that's a start to finish cinematic arc, you know. So I think at the end of the day, like that's what I'm interested in. And I think if other people are interested in that as well, then that's something that they can resonate with in my music.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good answer, I think. It is nice to see a lot, especially a lot of younger people getting back into listening to things start to finish, listening to physical records or CDs or tapes or whatever. It's been again, as a dinosaur who, you know, I don't even use any streaming services. It's all physical or Bandcamp essentially for me. And like, so seeing people putting out CDs and things, and especially when it's a band and they're, you know, they're like half my age, and it's like, yes, you're doing it, this is awesome. So it's always good to see anyone doing that. But you mentioned earlier that, you know, obviously you're making pop music, but there is that sort of darker element to it. Is that sort of part of the, what we were just talking about, having that sort of cinematic feel to it, where there are sort of peaks and valleys and there's you know, conflict and things like that would be happening if it was a film?
Yeah, I think, you know, working in film, like visuals have become such an ingrained part of my process. Whenever I have a new song, I'm like, okay, what can we do for a music video?
Yeah.
What color palette am I doing? What objects do I want to feature? Like things like that. And I think everybody does that for the most part, but it's definitely one of my favorite parts. And I've always loved filming and writing, and I've always been interested in horror and like witchcraft and things like that. And I found that in the editing side and filming as well, like my music videos tend to take on more of like, I don't know, like a 90s nostalgia kind of situation with like the VHS textures. And I love filming with my old like Canon PowerShot.
Yeah.
I found so much comfort in like nostalgia that I think I had this like common thread with that throughout my work. And with my last album, like the theme of death was very prominent. So we like utilized a lot of florals, a lot of like fake things, like fake flowers, fake butterflies hung from the ceiling. Like my song Where Dreams Go to Die specifically, I wanted to emphasize that artificiality that our brains kind of make up sometimes to protect us. And
sure.
I did a homage to a scene from the movie The Love Witch, which was so much fun. Like that was a movie from 2015, but they filmed it in a way that was like very 70s kind of aesthetic. And I really gravitate toward like darker stories because I think you get a lot more from that. But I also have a very like whimsical side to me as well. So it's kind of marrying those two together.
How do you effectively mix the darker stuff with pop music? I mean, I know obviously it's been done by many people over the years in different ways, but you know, on the surface, they seem like they shouldn't work together. And it seems like pop and death, for example, are not necessarily two subjects that should mesh well. But I mean, obviously you're making it work. Obviously a lot of people have in the past. Mm-hmm. How do you combine those two without sort of one overwhelming the other? I mean, you still have the hooks, you still have the pop sound, but you have the darker subject matter, darker sort of aesthetic to it.
I mean, most of my songs are in a minor key. So I think that plays like a bit of a role in that as well. And there's a lot of, when I was talking to my producer kind of about like just the different sounds that he was using, I think like splice packs or whatever came up at some point. And there's all these different like elements and stuff that you can get now. And I think a lot of people have been incorporating the darker aspects into their music. Whether it's, you know, those more melancholy and eerie sound textures, or just darker lyrical aspects to it. For me, I've listened to a lot of German dark pop.
Okay.
It's like the darker pop seems to be a lot more prominent over there that I've discovered. So that's been a big inspiration for me, just knowing that type of music exists, because yeah, you definitely don't see it in the more modern stuff like in your Tate McRae's and all of that. But I'm a as most people are, like I have a lot of different sides of me, and just the music that I gravitate toward the most is something that is very, that makes you feel a little unsettled, I think. Like I'm very interested in horror movies, and you know, you have the lighter aspects kind of in the beginning of those movies and then moving toward just like absolute terror in some ways. So I think just that's just part of who I am.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair for sure. And yeah, it definitely. I mean, a lot of the best horror movies have not comedy elements, but they have sort of that lightheartedness at first, mm-hmm. and then everything goes to shit, right? And that's sort of like,
yeah.
So yeah, I can see that working for sure.
Disconnected from me. Blame astrology, but it's not on me. It never knew me, really. Faded like smoke, a name I don't know. The spell it broke, don't need all these songs I wrote. No requiem left or a ghost. As long as you're getting naked, you don't care who you hurt. Thought I was losing faith in my mind, but you just don't.
You know, you've had this EP out for a while now. What are you working on at the moment? Like, do these songs, I assume you've been working on them for a number of years. Like you said, the pandemic was sort of when you started really putting this in motion. Do those songs feel old to you now? Like, have you sort of moved past those at all? I realize you've only done the one show, so it's not like you're playing them every night. But you know what I mean? Like, have you sort of progressed now? And these are songs that you've recorded, they're out there, and now you're doing something else? Or are they still very sort of present in what you're doing creatively?
Yeah, the album, I started working on it in 2023. And like, the way that that album kind of came about, I was working on like three TV shows at the same time. So I was looking at like scripts every day. And I had the idea of kind of making a concept album where it was based around each song was indicative of a different act, a different like moment in the cycle of life, like processing trauma and grief and all of that. So I ended up with the five songs, which each being one was life, trauma, disillusion, death, and rebirth. And so each song is its own like scene and everything, its own act. And I released it very close to like the 2-year anniversary of like what the album was kind of representative of. So it was all very meaningful for me. And I think, yeah, with writing the songs, it really did help me to grow from that. And I really believe that writing my feelings out and getting those emotions out and everything helps me to move past it in a way. Like, and so I think with the lyrics, like, what I'd gone through, like, I didn't want it to define me by, you know, kind of like re-traumatizing you with every time that you would perform the songs or like sing the songs or whatever. So I think it was really nice to be able to use a lot of artistic license to kind of write my own story from what I had gone through, like personal experiences. And I think just with the act of doing that, with putting the album out, because, you know, every album is really just a like a stamp of a moment in time for
definitely,
the person.
Definitely.
And so I think it's helped me move on in a way from all of that. But at the same time, like I said, I make these songs for me. I make the music that I wish existed. So I'm still really into them. I'll still listen to them all the time. But yeah, I don't think I'm tired of them yet.
Okay.
But yeah, I think probably eventually, I'm sure I will be. But I also haven't had the opportunity to perform them over and over again. And I'm sure that with time, that would happen.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm still living in it.
That's good. That's good. Good to hear. Yeah. Where can people hear this? I mean, if someone's hearing about you for the first time on the show, they want to check out your music. Again, I know as we sort of mentioned earlier, there's all these random places people can find music these days. Where would you direct someone to check out your stuff, whether it's, you know, the day this episode comes out or a year from now?
I am on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music. I'm pretty much anywhere that anybody wants to reach me. You can find me on whatever platform. I'm on Bandcamp. Yeah, basically any streaming platform. You can find me on Instagram. I am on there too.
Cool.
But yeah, hopefully I'll have another song out this year that I can share with everyone.
Awesome. And then, you know, because this is a podcast and people are going to hear it, like I said, right when it comes out, or maybe a year from now, maybe 5 years from now, I'll be doing this forever. Apparently, I can't stop. So, you know, this could be on the internet for a long time. What's the best way to find out what you're up to? Like, is Instagram sort of the spot to go to find out about potential upcoming shows or new music you're releasing, depending on when they hear this?
Yeah. My Instagram is chandler.pretty or my website, chandlerpretty.com. I try to keep that updated, and my YouTube under chandlerpretty as well. I'm quite active, or I hope to be more active on there. But yeah.
Cool.
Should be a crime. Give me some love for a second, I'm fine. Salted rim, sweet liqueur. Wish I could be who I was before. Lost expectations of the truth untold. I look buttermilk and sugar and gold. Sugar and gold. Stardust on your tongue. Stardust on your tongue. Stardust on your tongue. Swallow me piece by piece. Let me go. Follow me to the crib. Blood on my melodic masochist, fading in time.